Father, we again thank you for the word, the living word, and you said that you would not leave us without your word and the blessing of your word and the teaching of your word. And you said that you would come back through the precious Holy Spirit, not only bring in your word, but bring in yourself, your presence. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence in and through your word now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, the title today that we're going to look at and talk about, The Believer Must Complete Their Faith Walk. The believer, that is you and I, must complete their faith walk. Because the Word of God says He is the author, finisher of your faith. Faith is a gift. It is also the fruit of the Spirit. He is the author and the finisher, and therefore in your pilgrimage in this life, your faith, the faith that will get you into glory, and all the aspects of faith, its walk, must be completed by you. Not by the ministry, not by the pastor, but you yourself before Almighty God must complete the walk in this life that He has preordained from the foundation of the world that you are to walk in. As the Word of God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. We are to walk in His footsteps as disciples of the Lord. And so each one of us has our faith walk presented, set before us, and it is to be fulfilled. And to not fulfill what God has purposed and planned for you will mean a falling away, certainly coming out of the perfect will of God. Now, of course, those who are saved eternally, and the only way we know we are saved eternally is that we fulfill and complete this faith walk, and that we endure to the end. They are all the clear signs that you have been saved and called from the foundation of the world. However, in that walk, because God wants to keep us in faith, walking by faith and in obedience, sometimes we know that we go out of that perfect plan of God into that permissive will that He allows us for a season to move into in order to teach us a lesson. That is what the permissive will of God fundamentally is to teach man a lesson so that he can learn to walk and trust God and obey Him and to walk in His perfect plan and will. Thank God even for that He allows that at times. Not that we take that for granted, but that is the mighty hand of God working in each life. Now, each one of us has this faith walk that is unique to each one. Your faith walk is a little different to the person that you are sitting next to. How God is working with them in their faith to complete their walk is different to how God is working in you in which to complete your faith walk. And yet we find ourselves with all of that still in unity and oneness in fellowship. The reason being is because the completion is fundamentally the same for all of us at the end of it. How God gets you to that completion is different to your brother or sister, because we're all different. And we know that. And that's the uniqueness of God. That's what makes it a miracle. And that's what you see. Cults can't stand that. You see, cults want you all to look the same, to act the same, to speak the same, to walk the same, and do everything the same. That is what cults do. Stereotyped. But that's not the way God works, you see. God allows that liberty and freedom with each one of us because of our personality, our makeup, our character, yet he is mightily working with that, both to will and do for his good pleasure. And so the ultimate end and finish is that we are all one in Christ. That is why the testimonies of God's people and the saints is so wonderful, is so varied. It is tremendous to hear and such a blessing, because as you listen or you read of people's lives and testimonies walking with God, it is unique and it cannot be fulfilled by anybody else, because that was their footsteps, walking in the footsteps of Christ, God working in their faith to complete and fulfill it. That is why we serve a miracle-working God. But you don't get that so much with people who are in cults. Have you noticed people who are in cults and everything? You don't get much of testimonies coming out of that, because it's nothing but bondage. And it doesn't glorify God. What does it say in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6? I'm sure all of you know this and probably got it underlined. But we need to look at this in the context of what we're talking about. And here the apostle opens up to the church at Philippi, where he is in prayer of thankfulness for the saints. In his prayers, he holds them in his prayers. And what does he say in his prayers for the church at Philippi? Being confident, he says, of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that is his prayers, his intercessions. The God who has started that work, this work in the church and with the saints, he will fulfill, he will complete it. And that's what it fundamentally means. It means to complete, it means to fulfill. It means to bring it to its end conclusion, to glorify God. God leaves nothing incomplete. How do we know? Because we know by the parable of the potter and the clay, how he works with that clay to mold it into that vessel, a vessel of honor for his glory. Now, of course, it can be a vessel of dishonor, which is finally smashed and thrown away. But we find for the believer that there is a fulfilling, a completion that God works. And of course, this is speaking about in this life. It is not speaking about when you finally get into heaven. Now, that is, of course, a completion, when everything finally Jesus hands back to the Father, and we're told that he's all and in all. That is the ultimate completion of God's work of salvation and restoration, glorification, and so forth. But in this life, and the faith that is given to us in this life, it has to come to its completion, in which to glorify God, in order that we make it in, we're glorified. So it's not just speaking about being up in heaven and being there in glory. That is part of it. What he's speaking about here, he's speaking about in this life, that the work that God has begun may be completed and fulfilled, that the church will come to its fullness, its completion in this life. And we're told this week after week, what God's heart now is for the church that it will be. You see, the apostle takes great comfort that the work God will do. And so that should be our confidence, our faith. That even though it looks that the church is in such a mess, that everybody seems to be so concentrating on other things except the building of the body of Christ, yet our faith can still take comfort that it will be completed and finished. And I have to draw from that as a minister. Because if you outwardly look at it, It looks as though the body of Christ hasn't changed much in the last 20, 25 years. If anything, more have left it than ever joined it. And so your faith has to move beyond circumstances, what you see, and you come back to the Word of God. You come back to the fact that God is the master builder, and therefore, in light of that, you can take comfort and you can confess what the Word of God does. And the apostle is taking comfort, drawing from the Holy Spirit, even though the church is starting to come under attack, but he takes comfort that God will complete and finish it. Well, of course, the apostle believed that, confessed that, and went into glory, not ever seeing that visibly fulfilled. And here we are, almost 2,000 years of the early Christians and the disciples. How much nearer are we to that fulfillment and completion of the body of Christ? And so the believer must complete their faith and walk, because all saints are going to have to walk before God as planned. And God has clearly revealed to the overcomers, to those who are pressing in the deeper life, God has revealed over the years much of his plan for the church. And that we've seen that you are part of that plan, of that building, and that the church is made up of living stones. But the church will never function until we ask God to work that functioning through me. Babes, those who don't want to grow up, those in unbelief, those in rebellion, will always be looking to others or leadership and finding fault with them. And they do it in the light of criticism, because themselves, they don't really want to function and start to grow up and mature themselves. It's easy to do that. The children of Israel were doing it all the time. They were always criticizing whatever leader God had brought up for them to lead and guide and speak to them and to take them on. Human nature doesn't change. And what does it reveal? It reveals in their rebellion and unbelief that they don't want to become responsible. In other words, they're not really seeing that in their faith walk, they too must complete it, fulfill it, to glorify God. And that is, of course, why the children of Israel fell in the wilderness. They were so bigoted, they were so proud, that they couldn't see beyond their inheritance, their lineage, the fact that they were from the Abrahamic seed, that made them something special. And that blinded them. And so we have to see that we have to complete our faith walk. And part of our faith walk in its completion is the completing of the body of Christ, the bride that is making herself ready. You either know you're a part of that or you're not. You either see yourself as baptized into that work that God is doing in the last day, or you're a spiritual nomad just roaming around, going from church to church, listening to ministry to minister and whatever it would be, never really learning, never coming to a complete understanding, never fulfilling the faith walk. That is what the enemy tries to keep us in doing. Inactive, powerless, ever looking inwards. That's the nature of why he does it. He does it so that it causes a spiritual depression upon you, And that spiritual depression makes you feel worthless. What use am I? What can I do? And everything. And in return, it always keeps you looking to spiritual leadership, depending upon them never really maturing and growing up. That is what it does. The devil is so subtle in the way he works. So we, all of us, have to see that our faith walk, my faith walk, has to be completed for God's glory. And it's no good looking to anybody else. We see saints in the Bible who had to complete their faith. Just give you very quickly the one we know very well, Abraham. Seeking a land, a promised land. Called out by faith. Walked by faith. Yes, at times went out of the will of God. But his faith walk before God had to come to its completion, fulfillment, to glorify God. Noah, who heard from God that he was going to bring judgment upon the world, a flood, had to complete his faith walk. And all of these people revealed by their faith that they were completing their faith walk, because they were not only hearers but doers in order for their faith to be completed, you see. And so he built that ark in fear and trembling, and 8 souls were saved, as you know. Job, another one. One of suffering. But in that time of suffering, he was walking his faith walk in completion. And so at the end of it, God blessed him doubly. As a result that he stayed in with it. And no matter how negative it looked, he had fulfilled and complete God's plan for his life. And right through the Bible, right through, you see various saints walking a faith walk, but going through various different trials. The trials of Abraham, what he went through, were different from the trials of Job. Or the different trials of David, or whatever it would be. You look at the life of Samson, a very interesting life. But he had a faith walk where it was a walk that he would be restored in the end back to God. That had to be completed and fulfilled. He went out of the will of God. Jonah, called to prophesy against Nineveh, went out of the will of God. But the faith walk that was planned by God had to be completed and fulfilled to do God's work to glorify his name. And God is going to glorify his name. Even if you say no to it, you rebel against it. God's sovereign plan for the church is that he will have a bride for his son who will be adorned and ready and will marry. Amen. And if you don't want to be part of it, God will work it through someone who will. Why? Because our faith walk must be completed for God's glory. This is sovereignty I'm talking about now. You can gripe and moan as much as you want about it. But what God has decreed will be fulfilled and will come to pass. And so the overcomer's faith will be completed. And how do we know that it will be completed for God's glory? Because Revelation 12 tells us the man-child in the womb, that completion, that 9 months, will happen, will be fulfilled. Now, that is the faith walk. That is what glorifies God. That the man-child, the overcomers, the sons of God, maturing in those conditions, that is where we glorify God in our faith walk. And it doesn't matter how much you gripe, how much you moan, that is where we glorify God until the full 9 months is accomplished for glorification. And of course, I remind you that in those conditions where the man-child, the child is being formed, growing, maturing, are we inoperative? Are we just hanging around, just doing nothing? No, we are busy in those conditions. That is the whole point. And of course, we've told you over and over again, the spiritual analogy to that is Joseph imprisoned, which he was for all those years. Yet God was using him in that time. So the overcomers have to complete their spiritual faith walk as well. And so our completion, the way God is maturing us, developing us in the womb, spiritually speaking, is through our trials. We know that to make it into the kingdom of God, you must go through much trial and tribulation. Your trials that you go through is developing the man-child. It's the very trials, it's the very pain, it's the very experience that it develops that brings the man-child into its full maturity, ready to be born. The man-child cannot come into maturity. The overcomers cannot come into maturity. The bride cannot make herself ready unless there is pain that is attached to it. Our problem is that we still don't trust God with this pain. I'm reminded of a story I once read of a man with his dog. And his dog came limping up to him. And this dog looked up to his master, and he could feel that pain that that dog was going through. And that dog had very badly damaged his paw, his foot. And I believe there was a nail, or like a thorn, deep into the foot. And this dog looked up, and he knew that that dog trusted what his master was going to do, because his master, in order to heal him, was going to have to inflict great pain on that dog. But that dog looked into his eyes as he had to draw and get that nail out that had gone deep, and he trusted him that what he was doing, he was under control. And that is what God is getting you and I to. In the depths of our trial, look at me. I'm not going to allow you to be hurt any more than the pain that is needed in order to syringe this out. That is ultimately what God is getting us to in our trials and in our tests. There's just still at times that rebellion, that kicking back, because we don't yet have enough faith to believe that God will not allow us to go a step further in our trials than is needed. And as a result, that dog was restored back to its health, but he had to remove the very thing that was damaging him, that would have eventually killed him. He would have bled to death, you see. And that really spoke to me, that story. And there are times, and we cry out, Lord, I can't take this. I'm going to go under. I'm cracking up. We've all said it, and we will say it again. I can't take any more in this, and God knows how much we can take. And you'll find right in the depths of that, he was saying, look to me. Just look and keep your eyes firmly fixed on my gaze and trust me. And we can, because that's the love relationship that he's working in us in order that our faith walk will be completed in this life. And I know, brothers and sisters, you're going through much. I know it as pastor. There are times when you just come to the end of yourself. It's just you cannot take another step forward. But God is using that to show you that He will not let you burn up. He will not let you go. Why? Because your faith walk that has been predestined before the foundation of the world must be completed for His glory. It comes back to what I'm always saying. God has made no mistake. He is on the throne. He is sovereign. He is in complete control. Hallelujah. That's how these saints walked in the depths of their trials. Because this is where the body will be built. This is why it's laid waste up to now. And the reason it's laid waste, because the only way it's built, yes, sadly, is through pain. And most are not prepared to go down that route. And so we come back to the great imagery of the man-child. The child in the womb. The birth thing. There's pain attached to that. But once that child is born, and that child is preserved because we're shown it's snatched, it's caught away, there is the joy, the rejoicing. And as we're told, the mother who goes through great pain in which for that child to be delivered and brought, the sooner she sees that child and holds that child in her arms, all that pain, that discomfort, the hours of birthing, pushing through, all dissipates, it all goes. Because the joy is far, far greater. Why? Because a life has been birthed. And life is far greater and more powerful than even pain. Than what we go through, which is only for a season. Your pain is only for a season. And very often it passes away far quicker than even we realize. And sometimes you have to bow your head and say, what was all the fuss about? What was it all about? No, your circumstances has to come to its full completion. And you see, a lot of energy is lost in trying to work it out. And you see, ultimately, in our faith, what there's to be completed is where we're trusting Him and walking by faith, we're not spending time trying to escape from it, trying to work it out, why this and whatever, which takes a lot of spiritual energy and time and just a loss of peace. We're like lambs sent to the slaughter. Jesus, sent to the cross, didn't try to retaliate, didn't try to fight against it or whatever. And so it's exactly the same. And if we learn that, then we will learn God's grace is sufficient. We don't always in our trials experience yet God's grace is sufficient because we're all the while kicking back. Therefore, how can grace flow in order to sustain and help and keep you there in order for faith to be completed in your life and my life? You see, everything must come to its fruition. Even the wheat and the tares, we see that in Scripture. They've all got to come to their fruition, their completion. Even tares, even the goats and the sheep, grow up together. Until then comes that division, that dividing. Because why is that divine? It's come to its completion. Every season where we see God do a new work means that it came to its completion. And the latter rain outpouring now, as what we're experiencing, has got to come to its completion. And you are part of that completion that glorifies God. And so you see, the believer's faith walk has to come to its completion because it is a seed of faith. And that seed of faith has been planted, and like any seed, it has to grow, develop, mature, to be seen. And what is seen? When you see the church, you see faith. When you see faith, you see the church. Because we've got to see that our faith is the church, and the church is faith, because the church stands by faith upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And that is why at times it still appears in many ways it's incomplete. It's not built yet. And the reason it's not built yet is because God is still getting to our faith. Because it takes faith for it to be built. When the children of Israel came back out of Babylon, being in bondage there, they came back and they were to rebuild the temple, and only the foundations were there, and they were incomplete for a long time. What was that revealing? It was revealing Israel's lack of faith. And a lack of faith will always get you to look at your own life, your own home, your own circumstances, and never look at the house of God. And God's still having to work that. He's still having to work that even in this church. We're still at times more consumed in our own lives, our own jobs, our own careers, our own lives, than the building of this church. You see, this church can only build and be built by your presence, by you functioning, you being here. This is how the church builds. It can't build otherwise. I mean, what do you have otherwise? You don't. You only just have the church as an idea, talked about, or just known theologically. And that's what it is with most people. Most people today are utterly confused in what really the church is. And theologians and theological colleges can only ever expound and talk about it, or talk about its past. They can't talk about the present, what it really is today, or they'll talk about maybe denominationalism. That's their understanding of what they see the church is, but it's not. It's not Bible. So we can also fall into that trap. I can even fall into that trap. I can talk about the church today, but unless the church is visibly seen by baptized, spirit-filled believers who are placed into that, then it's a mere figment of the imagination. Amen. It's just talked about. Ministry needs confidence. The apostle could rejoice here in saying that God will complete that which he has started. Why? Because he saw the Philippi church through his ministry. He had something to see that God could complete and finish. There's a lot of ministers today talk of the church that go around from place to place, but sadly they've got nothing to see. That's not very quickening to faith, is it? Our faith can only be quickened by seeing the body. The greater works come out of the body. The doorway into the kingdom of God comes out of the body. And you are the body. And God can only manifest himself, healing, deliverance, salvation, which is the body's message that it proclaims, comes out of you see. Now we're beginning to understand that our faith walk must come to its completion, its fulfillment, you see. And that's why faith has to be seen, and it has to live, and it has to live through you, through me, through everything that God has put into it, because it's active, it's alive. And so the work that God's doing in this church has to come to its completion, its fulfillment, what God has decreed. And yet we still allow these hindrances to stop us. We still allow things at home, family, all those things, and the devil knows how to do it. He knows how to stop us functioning in the body. And that's why Jesus gave discipleship its conditions. And anything else that we are looking to, alternatively, to putting discipleship, putting Christ first, we're to hate. That's why he said husband, wife, father, mother, aunts, uncles, everything. Not literally hating them, but hating that which works through them that stops me fulfilling the function and role that God has destined for me. See, that's the point. And that's what's radical. That's the radical side of this. I call it that. And that's why Jesus said that sword has to come down and execute it. And some of us yet, you know, see the sword, it's about ready to come down, and you remember, you get away. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready. Let it come. Let it execute. Because then you're free. You're free. You're not divided anymore. You're not divided with your family. You're not divided with your husband that's trying to stop you from going to church, or the hindrances that can come through children. How the devil tries to hinder through children to stop you from being committed where God wants you. You know? Oh, you don't have to go. Please don't go to church this week. I need help, you know. Something's come up. Can you do this or can you do that? And find yourself, you know, compromising when you know where you should be, just to keep the family quiet. And why do we do it, to keep the family quiet? Because we know that if we take a stand, they're going to turn around and be nasty to us. And you feel, I can't take it, you know. Or I'll react. Or I'm going to say something and that'll blow it all out of it. Well, you don't. You die to it. You are going to get a reaction. Oh, you're always putting that church first. You love that church and you love God far more than you love me. Well, praise God. Amen. So you do. But the love that God is giving you will embrace whoever you love as well and whoever God has given. And it would be a balanced love. That's the difference. They want you to have a divided love. A love that's centered on them. And that's the choice you have to take, brothers and sisters. And some of us are still battling it. We're battling it because if I take that decision, I won't see them anymore. Or they'll turn their back on me. And so on. Well, praise God. My mother and I had it. My mother and I had half the family turn their back on us for about 12 years. And the lies that were said about us were in a cult, you name it, the lot. But we realized we had no choice. We were following Jesus. We'd read it in the Word. It's what God said. Counted it a privilege, a joy. But I tell you what, God has restored in these last years. And they came back. And they admitted that they had been lied to about us. And when they saw us again and everything, they realized it was nothing what they had been told by one member of the family who had caused all this trouble. And I'm sure some of you got testimonies very similar. Praise God. You see, we have the greatest privilege of believing for their souls. They don't know it. They're rebelling and kicking and everything. But because you've done it God's way, you've got that confidence before him that you know he's heard you. That was the teaching Tuesday. Therefore, you know that those, your loved ones, you're professing before you will be saved. And God will bring them in. How he does it, well, that's up to God. Why have you got that confidence that you know God has heard you for your loved ones? Because you're obeying him in discipleship. You're not compromising with it. See? Jesus said, you put me first, the kingdom first, all these things will be added unto you. How the devil tries to work. And yes, we've all of us got weaknesses. Some of us have got these weaknesses. Some of us have come out of very loving, warm families, you know. But of course, the moment you became a Christian, you began to see the other side of them that you didn't see before. But it still pulls on the old strings because it ministers. We feel comfortable, warm. We're fearful of that rejection, you see. And I'm not saying rejection is easy. It's not. It's hard to be rejected by your loved ones, by your family, whom you've been with all those years, because you're now following Jesus and putting him first. It's not easy. But I found when you let that sword come down and divide, then you begin to see the Lord working. And it's just like your whole affections, your whole attitude, everything suddenly becomes balanced. I feel I'm no longer torn. And it doesn't matter, they'll come at you and they'll say hurtful things at you and everything. And you yes, you're listening to it, but it doesn't hold you emotionally anymore. That's the difference. Doesn't play on your emotions. That's the point. And they know that when it can't do it. And therefore, they can't emotionally blackmail you. And family, do it. Children, do it. Make no bones about it. They have ways of emotionally blackmailing, whether they go through father to get to mother, or father goes through to get through to mother. Children are masters at trying to get husband and wife when they can't get their own way and try and cause strife between them. They know how to do it. What's working behind that? The old devil. Hallelujah. No, the believer must complete their faith walk. And my prayer, my confidence, everything is that the work which he hath begun here, he will complete and finish it. I'm not to get my mind into it, my emotions, my attitudes, because once you start doing, then you start complaining. Start belly aching before God. All I know is he will do it in Jesus' name. My confidence is the same, just like the apostle Paul here. He said the same. I'm sure if the apostle Paul writing that, suddenly after he wrote it and said that, oh, by the way, Paul, what you've just written there, I've got news for you. The church is still going to be around for the next 2,000 years. What? I'm sure he'd be none too happy hearing that, would he? Huh? But God kept that from him. See, that's the mercy and grace of God. But how much more us who are nearer? Seeing everything being fulfilled, completed. The prophecy of Joel coming to pass. God now in the last days pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Looking at Israel. What God is doing with Israel, God is doing with the church. And what he's doing with the church, he's doing with Israel. The two walk together, parallel. You look just to Israel and you look away from what God's doing to the church. Or if you look just to the church, you will not see what God's doing to Israel. It comes back to balance. Because the two will be fulfilled. They must come to completion. Israel must come back to the faith for it to be completed as a people. God will do it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. Yes, Lord, you have admonished us. You've caused us to wake up. You've had our name and address on it, Father, but it's because you love us, and that is the point. And Lord, I thank you that you are going to complete that which you have begun. in all of us, Father. Hallelujah. And Lord, I pray you'll be with us, you'll bless us, you'll preserve us and keep us. Lord, let our faith fail not. Let us all now look to you and not look to anyone else. Let us, each of us, make ourselves available, that you will work and complete it through me. Each of us are filled with your Spirit, in fellowship, communion with you. And so, Lord, what you have placed within us, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered even yet into our hearts, the things that God has prepared for us. Let us not limit you anymore, Father. Let us not keep looking to self and in the flesh life want its own way, but just allow by your Spirit as we make ourselves available, taking up our crosses each day, fulfill, build through each one of us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.